When a person becomes a Christian, he actually gets himself into something. Becoming a Christian is a good deal more even than it is such a thing as taking a job in an office. It's something even more than it would be to enlist in some military unit so that you join the Army or the Air Corps or join the Navy. It's a good deal like getting married. When you become a Christian, when a man becomes a Christian, he starts something. And just now, we are studying in the book of Acts, in the 8th chapter, about a man who was one to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the latter part of the 8th chapter, we had the instance where Philip was dealing with the Ethiopian eunuch. And that man, as it were, became a Christian that very day on the highway, traveling on the road from Jerusalem down to Gaza, just traveling along on the way. And he became a Christian right that very day this thing happened. I want you to see, however, that it involved on his part an entering into something. I have been pointing out to you and emphasizing that becoming a Christian is far more than just changing your mind about something, or opening your mind about something, or coming to understand something. That's included. But becoming a Christian is a matter of entering into a relationship with God. It's an opening of the heart to receive God into the soul. It's a case of believing that Jesus Christ died for me, that he ascended into heaven, that he is now praying for me, that he wants to have a personal relationship with me, that he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in me. He personally wants to walk with me. I am to abide in him, and he is to abide in me. All that is included in being a Christian. There's no point in thinking it's hard to understand. No use of saying that it would be difficult to remember. You wouldn't have to remember it. It'll happen to you. You'll just be led into it, because that's what it actually means about being a Christian. But being a Christian means being a person who is doing something, being a person who is responding to God in a certain way. Being a Christian is a person who is obeying the call of God to put trust in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I think Philip explained to the Ethiopian, as the Ethiopian was riding in his chariot, and Philip was up there riding with him. We had read, this is in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, we had read in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, I don't want to make too much of this, but I want you to notice he didn't preach unto him a way of living. That is to say, he didn't tell him, you ought to do like this and you ought not to do like that. He did not preach unto him a particular kind of ethics. He did not preach unto him a particular kind of conduct. He did not preach unto this man, this Ethiopian, that he ought to do certain things in the society where he lived at home. All those things would follow. But he is preaching to him the very essence of what makes a man a Christian. What is that? The truth that is in Jesus Christ. And he preached unto him Jesus, a living being who died for him, who was raised for him, who is in the presence of God, who will now come by his Holy Spirit to dwell in you, who will never leave you nor forsake you, who will guide you all the days of your life, strengthen you in every situation that you may be in, comfort you in every burden that you have and every grief that you have, and will keep you all the days you live in this world, and will bring you to himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to come and abide in you and have you abide in him. This is what he preached to him. And now I want you to be noticed that the Ethiopian said, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Apparently, this matter, this ceremony of baptism, was a gesture, an outward act, which was performed by people who made a profession of faith. People who claimed to be Christians, apparently, went through this ceremony of being baptized with water, and the Ethiopian knew it. And he said, why can't I be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Did you notice again, and let me emphasize this matter, believing with all thine heart? Now, I don't mean too much by this. I'm not trying to push it too hard. But this is not saying if thou believest in thy mind. That's not saying that. This is not saying, if you've got this all clear in your argument, if you understand all the reasons why, if you're sure that you believe all the things we say, it's not that. If thou believest with all thine heart, because this believing includes obeying, this believing is believing in, believing on, it's committing oneself to, it's turning to God, it's receiving the Holy Spirit, it's receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, it is committing oneself to God, it's entering into a personal relationship with Him. All that's included in the word believing. If thou believest, you receive God, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit, you commit yourself to Him, you really want to belong to Him, you want Him to belong to you. If thou believest, if you're really in on this deal, with all thine heart, you really mean it, thou mayest. That's what it will take to really begin. That's all it will take. And if you really mean it, you can do it. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And back in those days, that would have been an adequate declaration. He believed that Jesus of Nazareth, whom the whole community knew about, for 3 years he had been a well-known teacher, and people knew about him, and even if they hadn't seen him. This man that had been killed, crucified, this man all the uproar was about in the city of Jerusalem, with 5,000 people declaring that he was alive. This man that had been crucified there under Pontius Pilate. This man about whom people said, thousands of people said, the grave was empty and that he was alive today. And the Ethiopian had just been up there in Jerusalem. He would undoubtedly have heard about a good many of these things, where all this excitement and all this tension and this contention and this conflict was going on with the stoning of Stephen and all these things. This would be a scandal. Everybody would know about it. And he had heard about it. And now he says, I believe that Jesus Christ, the one Peter and John are talking about, the one that Stephen said he saw standing at the right hand of God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, this one that was put to death on Calvary's cross, this one that Pilate condemned in his court, this one whose body was put in the grave and then the grave was found empty. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I think the whole thing really is true. This one that ascended into heaven, this one that sent his Holy Spirit, this one who sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and all the things that have happened since. I believe that's really true. That's all it takes. When you have that in your soul, you're in. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Now, if you were to look back, if you'll remember, to the verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south. And he went. And then you read in verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot. And he ran and did. Now the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more. But he went on his way rejoicing. As far as that Ethiopian was concerned, thank the Lord for the testimony of Philip, but it didn't depend on Philip. Maybe in your life there's been some minister that's been a real help to you, a real blessing to you. You've loved him for his ministry of the word. He's been a good friend to you and he's preached to you. And God calls him away. Takes him out of your church. Calls him to another church. That's the loss of a friend. That's a real loss as far as personal fellowship is concerned. But look up. Stand still for a moment and think. You didn't lose the one you're trusting in. You didn't trust in the preacher. You trusted in the Lord. The preacher helped you, yes. The preacher can go, but the Lord won't go. And the Ethiopian knew this. The Ethiopian saw him no more. The eunuch saw him no more. When Philip had done his work, it was over. But he knew the Lord. And he went on his way rejoicing. He wasn't rejoicing because Philip left. No, he was rejoicing because the Lord Jesus hadn't gone. But Philip was found at Azotus, And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And there you have the course, the work, and the testimony of a real evangelist, a man who is called of God to deal with people, show them the Lord Jesus Christ, lead them to an understanding, lead them to an accepting of Jesus Christ. And when they accept Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ actually comes to be in them, this man goes on. You see, your faith and my faith is in the Lord. Now, we're helped by preachers and we're helped by teachers, but our faith is in the Lord. And when once you get to know Him, one of the most wonderful and comforting things about the gospel is He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can be sure you will always have Him. I'm wondering, as you've been listening in the course of this program again, is this the kind of Bible teaching that you find really helpful to you? As we've gone over this whole study about the Ethiopian and about this thing of becoming a Christian, do you understand it better now? And as you've been listening, do you know of anybody you wish had heard it? Can you wish that some friend of yours would be listening to this program? You know, you can do something about that. I don't know just exactly how it would be with each one of you, but if you'd listen, it might be that the Spirit of the Lord would say something to you. Why don't you go to some neighbor and tell them about this program and urge them to listen? And then, too, you might want to pray for this program, that it might be powerful and effective in the lives of other people. And you might want to support it. Someday I'll have to say more to you about that. You know, after all, we who are putting this program on the air, we don't have all the money in the world that it would take to do this. We don't have that. We need help. And you could help to do this. If you in your place and I in my place, if we just do like Philip did, when the Lord speaks, let's go. If He tells us to go near, join this chariot, let's go. Let's run. And if He asks you to support this program, you do it. Because that's the Lord's way of getting His work done. Our God and Heavenly Father, add Thy blessing to us as we seek to serve Thee, and show Thyself to us more and more. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.